Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions. We will have guest speakers. Are you ready? Then let's go. In today's episode, we will talk about sport and the role of a sport coach in young people's life. Coach is not just responsible for sporting development, but he or she plays an important role in safeguarding health and well-being. Today we're speaking with Prisk Duane, a special needs teacher, behavior manager who works with children and young people who need extra support, require an advanced program of learning in order to reach their full educational potential. Prisk works with individuals who have physical disability, sensory impairments, speech, language, and learning difficulties. He has been coaching basketball for over 7 years at university, colleges, clubs, and schools. As a player, he played basketball in USA at Tennessee Tech University. He played summer leagues, gained awards such as lead scorer, best player of the year. He has been selected to play basketball in Gordon State College in Barnesville, USA. He also was selected for under 18 to represent England in 2016. Prisk, welcome to the show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world. And hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, hello. Welcome to UK Health Radio. Thank you for accepting the invitation, Prisk, and I'm happy to have you, and I'm sure our listeners are happy, very happy to have another male speaking on health, mental health, and sport. So thank you for accepting the invitation.
Thank you.
How are you doing? How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay, and how are you?
Well, I'm very good. I'm very good. I'm happy to have that little chat about, you know, coaching, being a role model for a sector of people that are very fragile, very difficult to manage, which are our kids. I mean, our kids, kids of the world. So I'm happy to speak about this subject because I think it's very important to for everyone to understand that sport or being a sport coach is not only to be that sport model or just teaching the structure of the sport itself is actually more than that. And especially when it comes to kids, being a coach is being like a family member at times. And I'm sure you can relate to that. But about this a little bit later. So just as an introduction, tell us more about yourself, who you are, what you're doing. Yeah, where did you come from?
I'm originally African, from Congo. I moved to UK 15 years ago. From there, playing basketball in Africa, more make me fall in love more playing basketball. I would say sport majority. And from there, I couldn't take it anywhere else in my life. I thought to become a coach, to share my experience with the younger generation. And decided to become a teacher, working with special needs in daily basics.
Right, but you also play yourself, right? I know from reading your bio and knowing a little bit of you that you've traveled to United States, you played over there, you've got several awards for your basketball. Am I wrong to say that?
Yeah, that's correct. I moved to Tennessee, Nashville. That's where I developed my
Shy, tell our listeners your achievements, who you are, because they want to know who we're dealing with. You know, invite anyone. We invite people that are motivational, inspirational. So that's important. Come on, Prisk.
Okay. I moved down to Nashville, went to Tennessee Tech University. I played basketball, NCAA. And I played variety leagues in the United States and achieved variety awards in the league, in the team. And be part of that achievement, it made me realize that I'm not just a player. I'm a different type of person that to influence the young generation. That's when I got myself involved into coaching. So every day I wake up, I feel like I achieve something more and more. And saying that my biggest achievement, when I look at now, there is two kids that I sent in Atlanta, ATL. They're playing for the college over there. They're still there to now on. They went to Golden State College in Atlanta, Georgia. They're playing over there. That's one of my biggest achievements. So every single time I get
slow. We're gonna get there. We have all those questions. I'm more interested at this point about the achievements of yours, because I've seen a lot of your trophies, and I'm sure this is one of the reasons why also young generation kids will look up to you, because you're not just talking or coaching, you've actually done it yourself and you've achieved whatever you could at the level you were at. So, you know, what type of, you said variety of trophies or achievements, just point on a few so then we have an overall idea what it is.
Okay, on a few trophies, I'll say I was player of the year.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Player of the year and rebound of the year, and that's the time of season, and most approved player of the year. I remember that was my first time playing basketball in the United States. I was most approved player of the year because I remember that year I put on 150% of hard work. Every single day I was at the gym practicing and go work out with the guys, and I was doing overtime on top of overtime. And the game time, I was giving 150. So that was my first year in the United States. I was most improved player of the year, and I was the most positive and great team player of the year because I'm an easygoing person, always make jokes around, but when it comes to work, I'm good to deliver. That's what I can say.
I want you to point out on that, not because, okay, superficially reasons, let me show people out there how many trophies you've got. It's what are those trophies that they're very important, because, you know, it's one thing to win a national championship or being the star of the night or whatever, but the other thing is to achieve something for your work ethics, for your inspiration to others. So those are important things, especially when we talk about young generation. I think as much as you know, we want to be their the idols, we do have to bring some form of facts into their life, what we are about, what we deliver. It's the same with me when I coach boxing or even in the fitness world. They look up to you because of what you have done yourself as well. And plus, that's being great. The most positive person on a team, I think it's a great achievement. So, you know, why basketball? What got you into this particular sport? Because you mentioned you're from Africa, you're from Congo. I assume basketball is not that big in Congo. So what got you into this particular sport?
I grew up in the era of Michael Jordan. So everyone's talking about Michael Jordan this, Michael Jordan that. So I wanted to see myself. Why Michael Jordan? So watching basketball on TV and looking at the fashion, because my time it was more basketball fashion. If you play basketball, you have to dress in a certain way. And hip-hop was involved into that too, because you like hip-hop and basketball was around hip-hop. Then I said, okay, I want to play basketball too. Playing basketball in Africa was totally different because we did not have the facilities to play, but we used to play in the concrete with our shoes. I remember that.
Wow.
With our shoes and all, running around the recreation area. Then moving to UK, that was a burst opportunity. It was not a lot of facility, but it was there for us to play. And playing a little bit in the UK, then moved to United States where I could have practiced anytime and whenever I felt like it, because the gym was available 24/7.
Mm-hmm. But what is about basketball as a sport itself that got you so involved in it? Like if you ask me about boxing, perhaps I would tell you, is there getting knocked out and coming back up kind of philosophy behind the sport. So what is about basketball that is so
different? It's discipline. Mm-hmm. I'll say discipline and commitment. I know the generation has changed, but in my time in basketball is discipline and commitment. So you're coming to practice. If they say practice is at 6 o'clock, you have to be there 15 minutes early. Perhaps half an hour early for you to take part of the practice. If you're late, you're probably going to sit on the sideline watching the rest of the guy practicing. Or there is a term we call suicide. It's a running session that you're not practicing, just running all the time. So that discipline got me into basketball, because back home is more involved into discipline. Our generation grew up more into discipline. For my parents, grandparents, just discipline. And on top of that, everything you do, the way you speak to your coaches, the way you speak to your teammate, it was made a different way. You cannot shout. You have to speak in a certain way with those people. That's what got me into basketball.
Yeah, amazing.
So and also, I forgot one more thing. And growing up, I remember early 1996. Allen Iverson got drafted into NBA, and he was my favorite player. I remember watching him since college. From there, I decided I want to take basketball to the next level. That's when I decided to go to United States to play basketball over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Now we have a little bit of more background of yours. Thank you for that. And now we're going to move to the topic that you were just mentioning before. Why did you decide to work with challenging kids? Because you're not just working with regular children that, you know, have full families. You do work with kids that do need special attention. So why did you choose that?
First of all, I said I'm an easygoing person, really calm and really, really patient. So coaching basketball in the school, for me, it was just, you know, fun dealing with kids, playing games, but I did not notice what impact I was giving to those kids. Because for them, they was looking forward at the end of the school to play basketball with me. Because the way I am, the way I carry myself around, and the way I speak to them. Then from there, I was getting positive feedback from their teachers, the head teachers, and I've been offered the position there to work as PE assistant coach. From there, I was working with the kids, and I've been offered variety of courses. Then I see myself being impacted into their life. Then I decide, you know, I want to work with the kids, difficult kids, because it's a big challenge, but the reward is unforgettable, you know, because one day you walk in the street, a kid approach you, just thank you for being there for them. So that's why I choose to work with these difficult kids, and I want to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the beautiful thing that you just said, that you just walk on the street and they recognize you and they just love you, not just for the discipline that you taught them about basketball, but the personality you've got and perhaps the life lessons you taught them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have experience in coaching different group, different ages, different genders, because I know you've been a female coach as well, and different physical abilities. What is the difference in working with kids, children, and adults, for instance? Or what is the difference with kids from foster care and kids who grew up with parents? What different approach you have as a coach to you know, differentiate those different groups?
The different approach to approach the individual kids, it's about getting to know the child first, which means ask questions, find out what they like, what they don't like, where they're from, what kind of environment they're living in, who are their parents, what kind of education they have. So from there, you will know the ability how to approach them, how to understand them, and pull yourself out there. Let them get to know you as a person. Then from there, you build that trust with these kids. And as soon as you build that trust, you're like the diary. They can tell you anything. And they know, if I have a problem, that's the person I'm going to run into, the person I'm going to talk to. And you're always available for them when they need you. And also make sure you always check up on them. You know, even though they're okay, you just check up. Yeah. Make sure they're okay, and they know that you're there for them anytime and whenever they need you.
Right. And how about, for example, different genders? What's the difference between coaching male from females?
Male and females, you need to understand the strength and the ability. So as we know, female, it's hard to coach a female set moving basketball than a man can probably perform it easier than a female. And also, you need to understand female in the sense that when they're having the time of the month, the emotion they're coming to, the training, and whatever they're going through in life, you probably be too emotional to it than coaching male.
So what will be your approach?
My approach, it's more easily asking questions. How are they doing? How are you feeling today? There is anything they need to tell you before we start a practice. You know, ask those questions before you start. Any injury, any concern, anyone want to say anything before you starting the practice? And if anyone having a bad time, put them on the side. Have a conversation. How can you offer them? How can you solve the problem? That's my approach.
What if they don't want to talk?
If they don't want to talk, give them a space. Whenever they're ready, I'm sure they will come back to you. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to talk, they can walk away. And the next day or next session they come, they'll apologize. And they'll tell you exactly what happened. You know, like I said, it's all to do with trust. you're showing them that you're there for them. And you're showing them that I'm here to teach you. I want you to learn something. Then from there, you build that trust. You build that bonding with the team. And if there is any problem, they'll be happy to come and open up to you.
What if you see some disturbing behaviors, for example, I don't know, they're more aggressive on the field than they used to, but because, you know, you caught up in the training or you play a game, it's not like they're doing something really against the rules. They just different. They play different. They perhaps act a little different. What do you do then?
Have a conversation, you know. I always have
a system. Do you stop the game? Do you stop the training? Do you pull them to the side or you do it after?
We process? Normally push majority students on the side. You know, normally I take everything as a joke because if you're too serious on in the gym when you're training kids, it's always difficult for them to actually practice because they're scared to make a mistake. Probably the one, oh, he's going to shout at me. He's going to do this to me now. Take everything a joke. Just, oh, come sit down on the sideline for a minute. You get your assistant coach to continue the session. And while you're having a conversation with a participant, you just want to find out what's going on with their life, what's happening, why they're acting in a certain way. And if it doesn't work, if it's a children, you report that to the head teacher or send a letter to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So speaking a little bit of the female coaching and female basketball, I know that you have been coaching them for a while and that you're a huge fan of WNBA, which is the Women National Basketball Association. Tell us more about it. What is so special in coaching female athletes, and what type of results have you gotten? Because I know they've pretty much been very attached to you from what you mentioned before.
Like going back against being a role model, you know, a lot of this generation, I'll say it's lack of role model because growing up you had dad, mom, brothers, you know, this generation is more separate. Probably mom is in the different side. Dad is in a different side, brothers, they don't really have that connection. So a lot of this female, they need someone to guide them, tell them, okay, this is how to do things, this is how to do that. But coaching females, it comes with a lot of challenging because they go through a lot of emotions. And a lot of them get attached because the way you approach them, the way you talk to them, you just build that connection, getting to know them as a person before an athlete, you know. Coming to the practice, have a conversation, ask them how they're doing, how did they been, what they been up to, how was school, how was university, you know, what kind of course they doing at university or college, you know, get involved and share with them what's going on. Even little stuff like food is more so open up conversation to anyone, you know, what kind of food they like, what's the diet of the day. You know, what gym they go to, how do they do train, like all those things. Get to know them as a person before an athlete. Then from there, you start training them to become an athlete. Then not just train them, okay, I have to treat you differently because you're a female, but I'm going to train you the same way I treat male. Then from there, as they can see, they're developing as an athlete, they're going to appreciate that more. That's why I thought they're so attached to me.
Mm-hmm. But why such a huge love for WNBA?
Because I love the sport, first of all. They love the sport, the love I have for the sport. That's why I watch WNBA. I know it's not as big as NBA itself, but because I have the love of the sport, that's why I need to know what's going on with the female basketball and also coaching the female. I need to know what's out there, what can I improve more as a coach, you know, how I'm going to train my female athletes by watching WNBA.
But what, you know, what is a big question of mine here is that you don't have many, especially male coaches, trying mm-hmm. to coach females. It's just like
my coach, boxing coach, he also trains females. And so I had this conversation with him before about what is the difference to train a female boxer or male boxer. And so where that interest come from to go into female's world and be like, you know what, this is what I want to do. And especially for a male, it must be very difficult because you have to learn how to understand females first. Whereas if that was a female coach, she probably could have relate more naturally. So where that interest came from?
All that back to love of the game, because I love basketball so much. And I just wanted to prove myself as a coach. And as a, first of all, we're all human. You need to know, get to know another human being before you teach him something. And I have three female sisters. I kind of raised them. And for me, I feel like I can be a role model. If I'm a role model towards my sisters, and I can be a role model towards other females. Mm-hmm. It can be an athlete or any female mystery can learn something from me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what have you achieved with your female team?
With the female team, I'll say I have achieved a lot in a sense, because a lot of females, they don't like playing with males, especially in high competition. Or it can be just an open session. They don't want to play with male. But I would say with the female, I achieve more to give them that confidence to be out there, just go compete. It can be a male team or female team. We're happy to go and compete. That's why I say that's a big achievement.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans to coach them again and in any future?
Yeah, of course. Of course, I have a plan. So my future plan is to have a male and female basketball teams where they can compete in various leagues in around London.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the future plan for me. And I'm happy to coach any female. It can be a teenager or an adult.
Have you ever had a situation being a male coach in a female's world that you found it inappropriate or uncomfortable? You know, I mean, you're male, I'm sure you're good looking because you're a basketball player, you're an athlete, and mm-hmm. you're pretty young, and now you're coaching those young ladies who I'm sure, you know, look at you certain way. Have you ever come across with any form of some difficulties in terms of the romantic sort of relationship that can happen?
On that, not really, because I have boundaries, and all to do boundaries and keep it professional when you're working with female athletes. I do understand that some of them, they're probably going to look at you in a certain way, but as you have your boundaries straight, you keep your boundary set, and then know, I don't want to cross those boundaries. And you're not going to have those issues.
Right. So never, ever was a situation.
Never.
Or liked you more or tried to hit on you.
No, it wasn't never, ever been to that situation, because I always keep my boundaries straight. So that's the things you need to set up from the day one. You know, they know your boundaries and you know not to cross those boundaries. Okay, you can have my phone number, but don't call me unnecessarily. You know, you only call me to contact me only for basketball, or any question based on for basketball. Any other thing, don't contact me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You say it's easier to work with males or females, boys or girls?
I would say it doesn't make any difference. You know, it doesn't make any difference in my personal experience. You know, as we all human. You need to get to know it can be a male or a female. You just need to understand those genders. Okay, how can I deal with those genders? How can I deal with those genders? That's it.
Right. So no preferences and no any form of more difficulties coming from a female as an athlete, no?
Not really. Only thing I could say with females, because a lot of, especially when you, if females started playing sports, bring you into the sport, because basketball can be really aggressive. And there is a lot of trash talk on the court. Some females might take it too personally, but you're trying to make them understand that this is how the game, like, because a lot of those trash talk is more like to get into your head and to lose your comfort, to be out of your comfort zone and you don't know what to do with them, to take an advantage out of it. Just to get them understand this is how the game being played. The trash talk is always going to be there. Either you're a female or a male, you're always going to have trash talk around the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you've mentioned that before. Have you ever heard from your students, your athletes, that you or the sport have changed their life? And if so, tell us a little bit about it.
Of course. The funny story is that there was a kid I was coached when he was 10 years old. He was selected when he was 16, under, he was selected for England under 16. They went to play in Russia. He came back. Right now, we're saying we play scrimmage together. And they always thank me for being there for him, because every weekend he was looking forward to come and play basketball with me, because I remember his background was mom and dad divorced, and it was more with mom. As a male, you always need a role model into your life. And me being there every weekend for him, just training him that period of time, he appreciated that more than anything else, because he never had that role model into his life. And every single time I saw him, he's just like, thank you, coach. And for me to look at that, that's one of my biggest achievements that I have done in playing basketball with him and see how good he become. And I'm become today, I'm actually proud, you know, because I know a lot of these kids, they go into crimes and all that, but basketball kind of saved his life. And me being there for him, I told him something different in life that he can enjoy more.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, how would you rate it? Basketball player or basketball coach? Which one is more rewarding?
Basketball player. I would say both, because as a coach, I can say a lot of things in the gym, and you're always going to have those students or participants who doubt you. Oh, he's saying this, can he do it? But seeing me playing, they're like, oh, wow, it actually makes a lot of sense. He does what he says, you know. And for them looking at me playing, they're like, okay, I want to play like him. And me being the person I am, they want to be like me. But I always encourage them to find their own way to be a better person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for you, both are
both world is best for me, because we take it for granted as athletes, because a lot of us, we play sports because we love the sport, but there is other people on the side watching us, they're trying to be like us, or they want to play basketball like us. And on that, they visualize the way we do things and the way we carry ourselves around. And that's what I'm teaching them. You want to be that role model towards them as a player, also as a coach.
So what are your plans for the future? I think you've mentioned about the leagues, but in terms of your work, working with difficult children, and of course your coaching, what are the plans?
I love what I do. I think I'm still going to be doing what I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing. Because for me, it's more like, it's not a job for me. It's more like to make a difference in the world, you know, because I know this kid's majority of them being rejected from their parents. And I want to be there for those kids. I just want to make a difference. Wherever they go, or an adult would, and to remember that, okay, there will always want be one person for me. to talk to, or if I had any difficulty situation, he's going to be there for me. My plans for the future, still doing the same job I'll be doing, working with difficulty children, and have my own basketball club where I'd be coaching female and male.
And what about, I know you're doing your degree, you're trying to get more education in. So what's going on with this? Tell us.
I'm currently doing my degree in sports science because my background, I'm more into computing, but because I got so involved in sports, I want to know more about it before I do anything else, which is going to be involving other children into sport. So to educate myself to it, and as soon as I graduate, I'll be able to work in a variety of school, coaching basketball and physical education. Yeah.
So if you could give a few words of advice to young generation, aspiring basketball players, what would that be?
That'll be hard work and believe in yourself, because as a player, I put on a lot of work to be who I am today, even though variety of injuries, it got me kind of step back a little bit, but I never stop. I keep training, always work out, and anywhere there is basketball, I'm always going to be there and play. You know, my plan is to play basketball till I'm 60, play with my grandchildren. So the only advice I give you, just keep on hard work. You know, some days I know it feels like you don't want to do anything. Some days it feels like, okay, I'm not good at this. But those days are going to pass. As long as you put on the hard work, believe in yourself, show everything's possible.
And what if you have injuries like yourself you mentioned? I think knee injury and hernia, something like this?
Hernia and knee injury. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
those moments when you actually physically cannot do much, how to keep that positive mindset and still keep
all that is into your mind. Just say it's gonna be okay. You know, there is, when you go after the injury, they'll tell you probably you're gonna recover in 6-7 weeks. It never be exact, but you know, every step counts. If you can't use your lower body, train your upper body. If you can't train your upper body, train your lower body. That's how it works for me. Oh, you can be in a wheelchair. Your hands are free. Use your hands to bounce the basketball. You know, shoot in the air. Have a imagination of the game in your head. You know, practicing your show in your head. That's it.
Where to take that strength from if you are feeling defeated?
And you have to be positive in life. That's the most important thing. You have to be positive, especially playing the physical sport like basketball. Every single time you have to be positive, injury or no injury. Positivity is the key. Sometimes you feel down, but you just remember it's going to pass. It's not going to be raining 24/7. The rain always stops. Sunshine is going to be on the corner.
I think just speaking on that, I have your WhatsApp and I saw your post that you make over there that are very inspirational, motivational. You always post something for the good day, always something to inspire. So do you do that purposely, or you do it for yourself, or what is the purpose of it actually?
It was a purpose. It was for me. Every day I wake up in the morning, I have to come out with a positive quote. I did not pay attention to it. Actually, other people read it. I still have contact with a few players that I coached. They actually like, oh, coach, I appreciate the stuff that you posted. It actually motivates me every day. It's like every day when I wake up, I just want to look at your post. I'm like, oh, actually, it's not just for me, but it's for other people out there, you know, and start posting it more and more. And I'm actually getting positive feedback from the guys that I coach or any friends. They appreciate the message because it's hard as a human being to deal with a difficult time on your own. But if you have something positive out there to look out to, or it's just words that make it count on a daily basis. Yeah.
Do you think sport helps with mental health? Do you see the connection?
Of course. You know, mental health is a big problem we live in now, especially this generation, because the difficult time that we live in. But playing sport gets you to the zone that you're free, expressing yourself, expressing your feelings towards people, and also connecting with other people that you don't know. The reason why I say this is because basketball is one of the sports that has got no language. You can travel in a different country. You don't know the language, but if you see someone is bouncing the ball, you can bounce the ball too. Both of you just connected. You know, I'll say that reason I travel in different countries, I don't know the language, but if I can go on a basketball court, I see 20, 40 people playing basketball, I can go on a court, play basketball and have fun without even communicating with them. You know, you make friends without even communicating with them, but because of just the ball, bouncing the ball on the court. So I would say sport is one of the big sports for mental health. You know, you are home all day, but if you're out there playing sports, expressing yourself, expressing your feelings, and you get that aggression out of your head or in your mind, it makes you feel good.
Oh, I just wanted to have your idea because, you know, this show is all about fit life, healthy mind and healthy body. So it's all about finding that bridge and connection between looking pretty, looking after your body, you know, having that dream body of yours that you want, but also understanding how impactful it is for your actually mental health. That is such a huge, huge topic these days, especially after COVID and coming out of all the lockdowns. People, I feel like, are really drained by what happened and they need help.
Either that's not right.
You treat it as entertainment or you treat it as a way to escape your reality or as your medicine. For me, sport is my religion, my medicine. I need it not just to look great and feel I'm doing something amazing with my body, but to cope with daily stress. And that's just, I'm very open about it. That's just how it is. If you take sport from my life, I would say, whew, good luck to Natalia. So, you know, I always want to make sure that people understand that there's nothing wrong in wanting to look beautiful and pretty and sexy and fit, but the emotional and the mental aspect of physical activity is irreplaceable, in my opinion.
That's correct. I would say the same thing because some days, especially in this country, when it's cold, it's way outside, it's just one of those miserable days. But when you go put yourself out there playing some sport, makes you feel good. Forget about the rain.
Mm-hmm. Any words of wisdom, anything at the end to end this beautiful interview? Would you like to say something where people can find you? Anything, please throw it at us.
I'm not a big fan of social media or anything like that.
Because what?
Yes.
No way. How comes?
Like, go back to mental health. Social media can be one of negative impact in young people, not just young people, everyone is generation, you know. They're looking at different view of people. They're like, they want to be with that person, but they look at themselves. They turn themselves down like, nah, I cannot be like this person. I cannot be that beautiful. I cannot be this sexy or whatever. So that's why I choose now to be part of social media. And also, there's a lot of bad influence out there into social media. So I choose not to be part of it.
Wow. Even though I have a lot of
positivity influence to young generation, but I choose not to be there.
Yeah, that's a different approach, and I fully understand that because we have a lot of conversation about it with my guests, how the social media can impact your, again, mental health as well. So where they can find you, if they can find you somewhere, can they?
I would say Facebook. That's the only social media I think I have, but I'm not really active into it. But if you send a text, message, I'll be out there. A message I probably I'll receive that I'll be able to answer because it's connected to, direct to my phone.
Right. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking time from your busy schedule. I know you're doing a few bits and pieces in your life, so thank you. We appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I hope everyone could get something from that interview. And yeah, I hope to see you play. I hope to see your team play soon. You know, any updates about any matches? Keep us informed so then we can maybe come and support.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you again. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Being a good sport coach is not an easy job. Remember, if you notice significant changes in behavior in your athlete, help them. Identify the underlying issue. Try to recognize significant changes in their bodies. Ask for help if needed. Identify the key challenges relating to an athlete's life transformations. Be there for them. If your athlete has to stop competing for whatever reason, you have a key role in supporting them into retirement. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, please contact me. Follow me on Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message. And make sure you visit my website, www.nataliakotowska, for free workouts. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I will see you next time.